Hello and croeso to episode 116 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Once again, we find ourselves in the midst of the international break. It is always a pleasure to reach this point in the calendar as the big games for Wales are coming thick and fast. So to preview what will be another giant set of international fixtures is the international Hollywood Tommy Kaus. Kaus, how are you?
I thought that was going to be Lewis Sharp's introduction there, mate. I'm a bit disappointed, actually. Yeah. No, it's all good, mate. Yeah, very good. Raring to go.
Yeah, fresh off your feature on Welcome to Wrexham. A nice surprise.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I had a tip off from... I had a chat with a producer the night before at Mansfield, and he said that I was going to be on it. So I thought, I'll actually watch this one. Cause I haven't watched. I think I watched episode 1, 2. It was this season has been a little bit slow, so I haven't really watched as many as last year. But it was nice to see my inglorious HD showing all my wrinkles and flaws.
Yeah, you haven't been mobbed in the streets of Denby yet or anything. No more than usual, anyway.
No more than usual. Yeah. No, nothing like that, mate. No, I'm. I like to keep myself to myself, as you know, right?
Yeah, keep your feet on the ground. That's what's important. I'm back on the pod this week for the first time in a while. It's Banger's prodigal son, Lewis Sharp. Lou, how are you?
Good. I don't know. I'm going to follow Kaus's introduction there.
Have you featured on anything this week on Disney Plus or anything?
No.
Okay. I'll take that. That long.
I'm trying to think of anything I have featured on or anything I've done in the last few months, and it's nothing.
There we are. Good stuff. Well,
you must have been on the Round Around or something like that, mate.
Yeah, that's just like pocket money, you know. Comes around every now and again. Just extra work that is, though. No action.
Right. Before we start, as always, I've got some stuff to flog. Tickets for our event in association with the FAW and Amgueddfa Cymru at St. Fagans next Friday are still available. That's October the 20th. So you can get them from the St. Fagans website. It'll be a really fun night, so come down if you're in the area. And of course, our online store is full of goodies, such as the latest issue of Alternative Wales, back issues, pin badges, stickers, the lot. Christmas is coming, so treat yourselves and treat us as well. As I say every week, it is the best way to support the podcast. Let's look ahead to the first of our two internationals this week. Arguably the most important of the lot. It is Gibraltar at home in a friendly, but not home as we know it. We're back in our historical home of the racecourse. Kaus, as a big advocate for the Wrexham area, an ambassador, some would say, how does it feel to have a game back up north again?
Fucking hell, if I'm an ambassador, they're in trouble. But no, it's great, mate. It's absolutely fantastic. I think we are where we are at the moment in terms of what games we can actually host up north. So I think Gibraltar, it's a decent game to have. I know the opposition probably isn't the most glamorous, but just great to have some football in North Wales. And, I think it's great for school kids who perhaps can't go to games, can't travel all the way down to Cardiff. So it's for them, really, But I'm still looking forward to it as well, as I'm sure you are, right?
Yes, first time for me at the racecourse, which should be a really nice experience. Take the ground off and obviously get to see you, Kaus, which is a rarity sometimes. So it'll be an honour to be... in Wrexham with you and leave you no doubt in a pub or bar at about 2 a.m. when I go to bed and you stay up and get the first bus back to Denby or whatever your plan is.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say leave me in a ditch or something like that, but I mean, that's probably more likely.
Who knows? Gibraltar are our opposition, one of Europe's minnows, so to say. And I'm sure the Gibraltar fan won't mind me saying that. But it is the first time we'll take them on in a game, a men's game anyway. Do either of you know who will be the only three sides left in UEFA that the men's senior national team have never played before after Gibraltar? Anyone want to guess?
Ooh, right. Have we ever played Lithuania?
No, that is one of them, Kaus. Lithuania is one of them.
There you go.
Lewis, any takers?
Nah, I can't even think of any.
Well, great.
I was going to say, like, I was going to try and make, like, a joke and be like, oh, Azerbaijan or someone when we seem to play.
You're not far off geographically with Azerbaijan, with one of them.
Kazakhstan?
Correct. And the final one is Kosovo,
which
are the newest member of UEFA. So, yeah, we're down to three. I think we've got a good chance of drawing Kazakhstan in the Nations League, which was exciting next season. So, Lou, in terms of the game itself, how do you think we should approach it? Is it just going to be, you know, give the youngsters a game and just sort of see how we get on? Or do you think Paige will sort of use it, play some members of the first team that are lacking minutes and get a bit of confidence and fitness in them? What do you reckon?
A mix of both, I'd say. Obviously, it's the perfect time to bleed some of the youngsters through. There's, you know, a lot been said on Twitter that perhaps there haven't been enough of the youngsters, you know, a few of them who've been playing in Championship, for instance, not being called up, and perhaps this would have been a good time for them to play against Gibraltar. But I guess obviously you want to blood them through, but I think, am I right in saying a few of them are stepping back down to the 21s after the Gibraltar game?
Yeah.
At the same time, like you mentioned, you want to make sure that the people who will be starting the game against Croatia, who aren't getting first team minutes at the minute, will want minutes in their legs as well. So I'd say a mixture, perhaps if it was a case where we're starting with the younger players and bringing on the more experienced players towards the end of the game, or vice versa. But yeah, you never really see in these type of games when everyone's like, oh, it's an opportunity for all the youngsters. It's never 11, 18-year-olds who play. Mm. It's always like a couple of them, which probably is better for them playing with the more experienced players rather than all of them playing together. Just feel like a 21s match then.
Yeah, absolutely. Kaus, is there anyone you're looking forward to seeing in particular, maybe for the first time?
Well, I think Lewis has covered all bases with that summary there. I think he's pretty much spot on there. But no one in particular, really. Paul Mullen. he's on the standby
list. He's not there yet.
No, he's not there yet. I still don't think he'll be there. But I must admit, I am looking forward to watching Jordan James again, because he was so impressive in that last. Shameless name drop here, but when I was speaking to Paige last week in at the racecourse, I sort of I asked him. I said, like, in the last qualifiers, it was quite a similar start. We had a poor start to the Euro qualifiers for the 2020, and then we brought in Kiefer Moore, and he was like a talisman. He changed the whole campaign, really. I just asked him whether, you know, even though he's a very, very young lad, could Jordan James maybe be that man? Because, you know, he's come in and done a great job so far. Let's hope he can be. But, I'm excited to see him. David Brooks as well. Be good to see him. Get a few more minutes. It's just, I do like these games. They're interesting, you know. Don't get me wrong, they're never the most entertaining, are they, these friendlies and what have you. But it's nice to see some lads get a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I'd like to see Charlie Savage a bit. I just, especially depth in that midfield position. Obviously, Jordan James coming in now. I still think, you know, if we do lose Ampadu or Jordan James, we are struggling after that. Obviously, Morel is a tidy enough player, but I think, you know, we could do with a couple of other centre, you know, out and out centre, more defensive midfielders. I think hopefully Charlie Savage will be one of them. So, hopefully get to see him and the Ipswich lads as well, Wes Burns and Nathan Broder. They seem to be absolutely ripping up the Championship at the moment. So if they can start sort of translating that into international football, that would be really, really helpful. Lewis, it's difficult, really, you know, a game like this where, you know, we are playing weaker opposition, much weaker opposition. You know, like I said, they are one of the minnows, you know, with the likes of San Marino and Liechtenstein in Europe. What would you consider a successful game to be? You know, are we going to have to, you know, should we read too much into, you know, the full-time result? Or is there sort of other things you think that we, you know, we'll take away from this game rather than just the result?
I think in a different scenario where Paige isn't under pressure, I feel like the result doesn't matter at all in games like this. But you can already see the Paige out brigade if we lose at home against Gibraltar.
I mean, there's no excuses. If we do lose at home to Gibraltar, then I think that is, you know, Leighton Orient, losing to Leighton Orient levels, isn't it?
So I'd say this is probably one of the more important friendlies we've played recently in terms of getting the result, rather than just a good performance. Because I think a lot of people are at the point where even a good performance and a bad result would be, or vice versa, a bad performance and a good result. I think both would rattle a few people. So probably is quite important this time.
Yeah. What do you reckon then, Kaus? You know, like, you know, there's a scenario where we could end up winning this 1-0, scraping it with similar to that Trinidad and Tobago match. And like Lewis said, if we're not convincing, then because the knives are already out for Paige anyway, they're only going to be out for him more. You know, do we have to win this 4-5-6-0 like a lot of teams do beat these sort of sides? Or is that maybe a bit harsh and we're talking too much into a friendly?
No, I think we just have to win the game, really. I mean, it really doesn't matter, does it? It's a friendly. It really, really doesn't matter at all. But, yeah, obviously, not getting the win would be a bit of stress that Paige could probably do without, wouldn't it? But yeah, no, I think we'll win comfortably. I think we'll win probably 3-0. But, it's just nice to get a bit of confidence going into that game on Sunday, isn't it? You know, it'd be nice to absolutely smash him. it's not always possible. I don't care who you're playing at international level. They're all organised. They've all got little bits of quality in the team, no matter who they are. So yeah, you know, it's not as simple as walking out there and absolutely smashing who's in front of you. But I'm looking forward to it. I really am. You know, I think it'll be a typical friendly. That, you know, the atmosphere possibly won't be that great, but we'll have a great day out in Wrexham, cheap beer, and live the dream.
Absolutely, yeah, that is, I think we're going to the Fat Bowl before the game for a burger, so that'll be nice.
Are you on the commission there, are you?
No, absolutely not. If they want to pay me commission, by all means, I'm open to it.
Are you willing to give away your location like that? I thought it'd be like a fan club that will like congregate there waiting for you.
Yeah. Joe, no, like, there'll be a queue of people wanting to smack me in the mouth, probably.
Yeah, when you see these bands going to play in like Japan and there's thousands of people waiting at the airport and they've like tracked the flight, that's what it'll be. London to Wrexham train tickets. People will be tracking them now.
Nope.
Waiting for your station.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, someone's going to be on Sky Scanner just keeping an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it'll be more to assault me rather than anything else. So make of that what you will. Right, let's talk about the big one then. Croatia at home in Cardiff on Sunday. This isn't going to be easy. I think we all know that. But for context, bear with me here. I've worked out the premonitions. So if Croatia beat Turkey on Thursday and then beat Armenia in the final group game, we can qualify if we get 7 points from our last three games. We can also afford to lose against Croatia, but we need to beat Armenia and beat Turkey by more than 2 goals. So it's still very much to play for. And when you sort of put it like that, especially the getting 7 points from the three games, if Croatia beat Turkey and Armenia, it's very much still to play for. We're very much in it. So knowing that, Kaus, how do you think we should approach the game? Should we just set up, organise, you know, try and keep it 0-0 for as long as possible and get the draw? Or do we go for the jugular and, you know, try our luck for 3 points? What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, what we should do and what we will do is probably two different things. But I would say that Paige is going to set up not to lose the game. I would guess that. You know, obviously we've got little bits of quality all over the field that can maybe nick us a goal here and there, but I think we'll be looking just to try and keep it tight and you know, not lose the game. But at the same time, you know, why not at home? You know, if we can keep it 0-0 for until the second half, there's no reason why we can't go out and win the game. So yeah, you know, I certainly don't think Croatia are, you know, they're a good side. We all know that. But are they top six, seven in the world, you know, at the moment? I'm not sure. You know, you guys probably know more than me, but yeah, I think they're there for the taking. But yeah, so are we.
Yeah, absolutely. Lewis, it felt like Paige sort of found a system that we looked pretty decent playing back in September. I thought we looked a lot more solid. We are now without some big players, you know, likes of Ramsey and Brennan Johnson, but we do have Dan James and Kiefer Moore back. Would you stick with that same system? And if we, you know, if you would, and we assume the midfield two will be Jordan James and Ampadu, who plays in your front three?
I'll be honest, mate. I didn't watch the game. I was in Barcelona. I was sick in a toilet.
Dear. I should have done more research on who I got on this bloody podcast.
if it worked, then keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it like that.
that's the best insight I've ever heard from you, Lewis Sharp. Yeah. Fantastic.
If it worked, I've gone downhill. Or uphill, maybe.
Yeah.
No, but from what I heard, obviously, it seemed that the Ampadu and James midfield pairing worked quite well. But then again, without Ramsey, you're losing creativity. I don't know if, you know, sort of Harry Wilson or David Brooks can fit into that role. But then again, I don't know, it's a different game playing at home against Croatia. Like Kaus is saying, that we don't know if they are as good as what they were 3 or 4 years ago. But at the same time, they're not going to come to Cardiff and sit back, but they are going to be substantially better than us, especially, well, that's quite a bold statement probably, but in midfield, I remember in the reverse fixture, they like completely played us off the park in midfield, I thought. Joe Morel obviously played decent that game type of thing, but I feel like that's where they are quite superior to us. But then I think the best way of combating that will probably be Ampadu and James in midfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Kaus, the front three that started in Latvia were Harry Wilson, Brennan Johnson and Aaron Ramsey. Two of the three aren't available. Is it as simple as Kiefer Moore and Dan James in for the two missing? David Brooks obviously needs to be in the conversation as well. You know, even Nathan Broadhead probably, you know, can stake a claim to start. You know, who do you go in that front three? I think Harry Wilson should play based on his performance in Latvia. And I think he's a bit more of the creative midfielder type that will fill the Ramsey gap. But what about the other two?
I feel like we always discount Harry Wilson when we're sort of selecting our teams, but he always sort of finds his way into the team, doesn't he? And, you know, rightly so, he does a great job. I'd probably agree with what you said there, Ryan. I'd probably say, you know, obviously Kiefer Moore. Dan James, 100%. We know how much Robert Page rates Dan James, especially in games against teams where you're not going to have a lot of possession. He's a fantastic player to have when you're, you know, when you're up against it, so to speak. So, that's how I see it going, mate. Harry Wilson, he'll find his way in somewhere, even if it's left back or in goal or something like that. Harry Wilson will be on the field, I guarantee it. I actually think, as much as I've been a little bit critical of some of his recent performances, the last few times he's played for Wales. Dan James, he's been a little bit wasteful, you know, as he can be. But I think against these sort of sides, he's your man. You know, I remember when Solskjaer did it at Man United, whenever they played Man City, Dan James would play. And you can understand why. He gives you so much effort. He gives you so much work rate. He's a defender. He's a striker. He's an attacker, winger. I think could be quite vital, actually, to the end result.
Yeah, I think you're right. And as much as sort of David Brooks maybe deserves a start after, you know, coming on and scoring a goal, it is nice then to have someone like Brooks off the bench who can come on and change the game if we need to, you know, if we maybe end up chasing the game. You know, Kiefer Moore would be a lovely outlet to have as a sort of a target man and an out ball, you know, considering we may sort of be backs against the wall for periods of the game. And Dan James will work his arse off. And Harry Wilson's got a bit more, you know, can play a bit more as a third midfielder. as well. So yeah, I think I'm with you in terms of being a front three of James Moore and Wilson. To the defense then. Obviously it's been pretty solid, sort of picked itself really over the last few years. Mepham, Rodon, Ben Davis, and then Connor Robertson, Nico Williams at wing backs. There is big doubts over Mepham's fitness and whether he's going to even make the game. We've also seen Cabango pull out of the squad with an injury. Lewis, it all points really to Tom Lockyer being the one to come in at the right side of the back three. Do you think it's as simple as that?
It's a weird one with Lockyer because up until recently, I don't think he's played that well. There was a period of time where he'd been dropped from Wales when he wasn't really playing that well. But then obviously you can't really overlook somebody who's, you know, he was captain for Luton the other night, or the other day, sorry, against Spurs. So you can't overlook someone who's playing week in, week out in the Premier League. And I haven't watched much of Luton, but from what I've seen, it doesn't seem that he's massively out of place playing in the Premier League for them. So I don't think you can really overlook him at all. Rodon picks himself. Davis probably picks himself as well. So if it is the case that Mepham's not available, I don't think Lockyer is a bad replacement at all.
No, and I'm pretty confident that I'd say there'd be a big chunk of the Welsh fan base who'd like to see Lockyer over Mepham, regardless of, you know, of Mepham's fitness. Kaus, are you in agreement with that? Obviously, Regan Poole's made the squad as well. You know, I think he might be one of the ones joining back up with the 21s, I think. So we are, and Joe Lowe as well was called up in replacement for Ben Cabango. Do you see it being a back five with Mepham or will with Rodon? Sorry. Do you see it being a back five with Lockyer instead of Mepham, or, you know, would we maybe go to a four? You know, to get an extra forward player on the pitch, or is that probably a little bit too risky?
Yeah, no, I don't see him doing that. Right, I think he'll stick with the five. I think Lockyer will come in. I think, you know, that's what I would guess. I must admit, I haven't really seen much of Tom Lockyer this season. I don't really watch a lot of English Premier League football, so you know. But I think he's been playing.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, he had that in, you know, the...
Doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's been playing most weeks. Obviously, he had that pretty concerning... it wasn't even an injury. You know, he went down in the playoff final, didn't he? And it was, entirely sure exactly what happened, but he's back and he's fit and he seems to be playing. According to Wikipedia, I don't know how up-to-date this is, he's played five times and he's scored as well. So, we don't have many players playing regularly in the Premier League at all, so he definitely can't be sniffed at. And if Mepham isn't going to be fit, then I don't think there's any debate of who takes his spot. And then it's his to lose, I guess, if he has a good game. Right, Lewis, I'm gonna push you for a score prediction for the game on Sunday. Are we going to get that draw, or are we going to fall short?
I think we'll draw. I can see it being fairly similar to how it panned out in Split. They score early on, pressure keeps building throughout the game, and then a couple of changes towards the end change the game. Like I was thinking when you were saying then, Ryan, about starting Wilson James and Kiefer Moore and bringing David Brooks off the bench. I feel like he's the type of player with quarter of an hour left. People normally say it's about like fast, tricky wingers, and not that I'm saying that he isn't that, but sometimes you need somebody who can put a ball in the right, you know, place. And if something drops to Broadhead or to Kiefer Moore or whatever, I can see us getting a draw out of that game.
How so? You got your positive hat on that we're going to get something out of it?
When have I ever got my positive hat on, mate? Come on, think about it. No, I'm afraid to say. I think it'd be a narrow defeat. Unfortunately, yeah. I think maybe 2-1. But yeah, you know. Do you know what? I mean, you know, if we don't qualify through the group here, it won't be because of games against Croatia. It'll be what we've done elsewhere. So I think maybe Croatia will just have that little bit extra quality where it counts. So unfortunately, I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you leave your positive hat very much on for Wrexham only, don't you?
Yeah, it's weird because it used to be the other way around. I used to be really positive about Wales and really negative about Wrexham. So, yeah, things have changed.
I'm with you, Lou. I think I saw enough from us in September that I think we could maybe nick something. I mean, if we can win, it would just be absolutely mega and sets us up incredibly well for September. But also, Kaus, I think you're absolutely right. We should be going into this game being okay to lose because we should have beaten Armenia at home and maybe got something a bit more at Turkey away. And this game would have been a free hit. Instead, we sort of put pressure on ourselves, but that's fine. Yeah. You know, in the past, the recent past anyway, I should say, because very much not in our, in our history in general. We're pretty good when it matters, I think. And we can pull a result out. Whether that's the same for this current crop, I don't know. But it'll be a big old game on Sunday, and I'm very much looking forward to it. A lot more than I was, after that Armenia game. I never wanted to watch Wales again after that. That was particularly bad. Also will be nice, as always, to see plenty of familiar faces on Sunday in Cardiff as well. Because that's what football's all about, isn't it? The friends we make along the way. Right, that's international chat done. We won't do any chat on the English-based clubs this week. All seems to be ticking over well. Swansea very much banishing the demons of the Derby defeat. And Michael Duff is probably going to get a 4-year contract extension at this rate, with the rate they're going. We'll leave that chat till after... after the international break. But I just want to have a quick chat about the Cymru Premier. It was the 11th game of the season this weekend, which means we're at the halfway point of phase one. Every team has played each other at this point. So Kaus, I think it's pretty confident looking at the table already that, I think 5 of the 6 teams in both ends of the table come the split pretty much decided, and it's probably just Balor and Met, fighting it out for who goes in the top half and who goes in the bottom half at this point. You know, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, mate. I would. It's starting to take shape, isn't it? Mm. There's still a bit. I am surprised. There's been a few surprises for me so far, right? I think Penobont. I perhaps expected Penobont to be maybe 3 or 4 points better off. I didn't expect Carnarvon to do as well as they have. Credit to them. Balor have been funny, haven't they? They started so well and then they've just sort of fallen off. Cardiff Met are doing what Cardiff Met always do. Pontypridd and Haverford West probably a little bit disappointed, I would say, where they are so far. So, yeah, Colwyn Bay was always going to be tough coming up. First season in the top flight. I think me and you both predicted the bottom two, didn't we?
Yeah.
Sadly, two good clubs, but we said at the start of the season we felt they probably didn't have the quality there. As you say, taking shape now. I just hope that TLS don't start to pull away. Obviously they've dropped points in a couple of games so far, but. Nomads have dropped points as well. Hopefully there's a sustained challenge there.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen how that game on Saturday against Penobont would have gone if Penobont had stayed with 11 men on the pitch. You know, they went 1-0 up within the first 10 minutes. Chris Venables scoring a goal like Chris Venables does. Josh Yarroth got sent off for an off-the-ball incident, which annoyingly wasn't captured on Scorio, so I haven't actually seen it. It's just a bit of a... You can't do that against TNS, can you? You know, you can go 1-0 up and you've got every chance 11v11, but you just cannot give them an inch. And they just did what they did in the end and went on and scored 4. I think they've scored 21 goals in their last 5 games. They're absolutely purring. And, Connors Key looked like they were purring. And, you know, all of a sudden they go and throw a one-all draw in against ABBA, yeah. which sort of was typical. But, I mean, I think we should mention Newtown. Obviously, friend of the pod, manager Chris Hughes, in charge there. You know, they've won seven on the bounce. They had, I think, they won seven in the bounce, which means they didn't win in their first four. I think they drew one and lost three, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know, and they've gone and, you know, beaten a you know, a Carnarvon side who are having a much better season than we expected, 4-0 comfortably. How good are they? And do you think that maybe, you know, second place isn't beyond them at this point? I don't think it is.
It's not beyond them. Do I think they'll finish second? I don't think so. You know, as you say, disastrous start to the season, as they did last year as well. And, you know, but Newtown are always capable of putting a run together. They've done it for years and years, haven't they? They always put a run together at some point. And this is their run now. You know, they'll be hoping it carries on. You know, and they'd be interested to see whether they can. I mean, you know, they've got Cardiff Met away coming up. That'll be a tough game for them.
Yeah, I think Newtown have been probably a surprise, actually. I think they didn't have a great season last season. I think they just about made the top six and didn't really do much second half of the season. You did mention you'd expected Penabon to be better off as well, which probably, I think, is fair. 2-0 draws against Cardiff Met and Ponty, and then losing at home to Colwyn Bay probably is what scuppered them there. You know, the other three losses coming against Bala in the middle of their run in Bala, and then against Connors Key and TNS. So I think there'll be more to come from Penabont in the second half of the season. Bottom of the league then, a big win for Ponty over Haverford West. Lou, how do you see the relegation scrap at the moment? You know, should Ponty and Haverford West still be a bit worried about their form, or are they probably just scraping enough points to sort of keep their heads above the water for now?
Obviously, they're not massively off in terms of points-wise. There's a couple of fixtures against their favour, then they're really in trouble. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't see the bottom half changing much, whether Ava go down or what. I've got to be careful what I'm saying now. I don't want the soul to go on me like they've been on you. I think Ava might win the league. Put together, what is it? How many games would be left in the season?
Yeah, I'd be intrigued to see if they could even do it mathematically at this stage.
That's what's going to happen, I think. I think they're going to have a massive upturn in form. But seriously, I don't particularly see it changing much. I haven't watched much of Barry, but I wouldn't think I'd be that convinced by them. Mm. Whether Abba have got a minus 19 goal difference as well compared to Barry's minus 10. That's something that might play against them in the future. But no, Ponty and Haverford West, you think with, like, if Ponty can put a run together in phase two like they did last season, then they're laughing. They're even potentially looking at a playoff spot. Haverford West, similarly, they put together quite a good run in phase two last season. So I don't think either of them would be in danger, which leaves Colwyn Bay, Barry and Abba at the bottom.
Yeah, Ponty, an interesting one. I think they're sort of the odd team out in the league at the moment in terms of what they're doing. I think Haverford West need to be careful because, you know, I think they had their fourth sending off of the season on Saturday, which you just can't keep going down to 10 men. You know, that's why the results aren't happening for them. Whereas if you look at Ponty's, they doubled their total goals for the season on Saturday with a 2-0 win over Haverford West. But they've also only conceded 9. Only Bala and TNS have conceded less. So conceding isn't a problem. If they can start putting balls in the back of the net, then they will probably start moving up the league. You know, and the top half of the table isn't out of reach yet. You know, there is only 4 points between 7th and 8th. And 6 and 7 are on the same amount of points. So they can very much do it. I just don't know if they can do it consistently enough to get, you know, touching distance of Bala and Cardiff Met. And you know, everyone's got to play each other again now. And if anyone takes many points off TNS and Connors Quay, I'll be very surprised. So they've just got to beat the teams around them, Ponty. Same goes for Halford West. And I think I've already seen enough of Colwyn Bay at this stage to know that I think they'll be okay. But I'd be worried if I was a Barry or Aberystwyth fan. I just think they just lack the quality, which we said at the start of the season in Week House. That was sort of it. It was like they're not bad sides. They're just not as good as everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Those were the two we said could have been in trouble. Gwyll was bullish, wasn't he? Mm. But, you know, did he have Abbey to win the league?
I think And I think he had TNS bottom, didn't he, with a minus 50 or something, because they had all their points taken off him. Something like that.
Not going great for the Soul Crew. No. But I agree with everything you've just said, lads, to be honest. As I keep saying, though, I just want to see competitiveness at all points of the league. I want to see it up the top. I want to see it down the bottom. I don't want to see people being cut adrift, be it top or bottom. So as long as it's competitive, we'll be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the more I've spoken about it now, Ponty to win the playoffs and qualify for Europe, that could definitely happen, Lou. You've made me think that. I think they won't be good enough to get top six yet, but they'll better run together in the second half of the season, get into that lucky seven spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think sometimes if you're there or thereabouts, fifth, sixth, seventh, do you think sometimes managers might think, right, let's lose a few games, let's get in the bottom six? Do you know what I mean? Do you reckon that happens?
I mean, they won't admit to it, and I don't think they'll try and go out to do it. But they will probably be a part of a manager that thinks we're better off. You know, like, for example, I remember, would it be the 2020-21 season? Newtown finished seventh. Pettibon were fourth. And I remember with a couple of games to go saying, as a Pettibon fan, that I would rather have finished fifth or sixth and avoided playing seventh. So, but you know,
they'd won something silly like seven games on the bounce or something, Newtown.
Yeah.
Like winning 3-4-0 every game point as well.
You definitely want to avoid them in the playoffs. But I mean, it depends, isn't it? I mean, if you're in sixth spot and you're 10 points off the automatic European spot, then you'd be better off going into the bottom half of the table as long as you had enough of a buffer between you and the relegation zone. Because what you also don't want to do is slip into that bottom half and then get caught up in a relegation scrap. But for example, now, you know, Bala a sixth, they're 10 points clear of the relegation zone. They'd probably have a better chance of getting Europe by finishing in the bottom half, which is bizarre. But that is the nature of the league, I guess. And until it changes, then that's the way it's going to go. But we won't get into that conversation for now. Right, that's all the football talked about. No Phillips this week. He is MIA. At the time of recording, he did mention to me that there may be a voice note come in. Whether that materializes or not, you'll find out in a second. And then we'll be back for part two of the podcast. Your questions, our game, and whatever other nonsense we'll chat about. Welcome back to part two of the podcast. Let's start with our lineup game. I've chosen a game against Croatia from the past, considering we're playing them on Sunday. And it is going to be the hottest football match of all time that took place in Osijek back in June 2019. Croatia won 2-1. It was the doubleheader where we lost to Croatia and Hungary. But we did go on to qualify for Euro 2020 regardless. An interesting time for the Welsh national team. A lot of change under Ryan Giggs. So we'll be interested to see how we get on here. A reminder that we are now playing new rules, which is best of three, because prior to last week, the effort and the quality of the quizzing was quite frankly disgraceful. So for the integrity of the game, I'm allowing three goes each. In terms of flipping. I've got a toaster once again. Lewis, as our esteemed guest tonight, you can decide whether you want the top of the coaster or the bottom, the cork of the poster coaster. What would you like, please?
I'll go top. It's got a nice little pattern on that. A
lovely pattern, I must say. Yeah, very sort of, I don't know what it is, but it is nice. I didn't buy it, of course. And it is the top, Lewis, which means you go first if you want.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'll go first.
Okay, then. So, who played on the 8th of June, 2019, Croatia 2, Wales 1?
I'm only naming one person.
Name one person to begin with, please.
Bale.
Gareth Bale. Correct. Tommy Kous. Can you follow that?
Pressure's on already. Ben Davis.
Correct. One all. Lewis.
Harry Wilson. He missed a chance quite early, didn't he?
Correct. I think it was from that mega long throw from Bale. Remember the quick long throw? That was a good chance. Okay, 2-1. Kous, can you bring it back to 2-2?
Connor Roberts.
Correct. Oof, we're doing well, yeah, boys. This is weird territory.
Uncharted territory.
Lewis, what have you got?
Meppham. I think he had a... I don't know if he started, but he didn't play particularly well.
He did start. That's 3-2, Lewis. You've got to get this to stay in it, otherwise Lewis wins. We're almost halfway. This will be over halfway if you get this right.
It's pressure time now.
No one's ever got this far.
Ethan Ampadu.
No.
Ah, you're joking.
He was subbed on.
Ah, you're joking. Subbed on?
Yeah. And do you remember who played in centre midfield that day, Lewis? Because they had an absolute stinker, and I don't think they've played for Wales since, or at least started.
No,
he got subbed for Ampadu.
No.
Bill Vokes.
Oh.
Right. Bill Vokes. Yeah.
So, Lewis, congratulations on beating Kous. It's not hard. Yeah. Everyone does it. So, don't be too proud of yourself. But the complete team was Wayne Hennessy. I can't believe no one went for Hennessy.
Do you know what? I thought I was going to go, actually, for Danny Ward. I was going to go for Danny Ward.
Well, there we are then. So it was Hennessy, Meppham, Will Vokes, Ben Davis, Connor Roberts, James Lawrence, Joe Allen, Matt Smith, Harry Wilson, Dan James, Gareth Bale, Brooks, Ampadu and Matondo came off the bench. So a good effort. Yeah. Nice to, you know, get at least, you know, five players in. So well done, Lewis, on your first win of the lineup.
Do you know what?
Game.
That's two shootouts I've lost this weekend. We lost the local derby on penalties yesterday in the veterans football, Denby against Rithin. So
I'm
not
having
any good sign of things at the moment.
I know you do, your disdain for Rithin runs deep. So I bet you gutted.
It was horrible. It was a feisty affair as well, right? To be honest, but
did you take a penalty?
I did. Of course, I slid it home.
Of course. We've seen you score penalties in the past.
Do you know what? It was actually It was identical to the one I scored in the fans game back in June. Identical.
Was it? So any keepers who are going to face you at a penalty, you know, you're a one trick pony. So you're lucky. There's no footage of it, Kous.
Given the eyes,
absolutely. Yeah. And what a pair of eyes they are! What a pair of eyes they are! Right, let's answer a few of your questions. We haven't got many this week, which is somewhat a relief, but also concerning because maybe people hate us now. I don't know. Let's hope it's the first because I put it out.
You're worrying me a bit, right? You were talking about people wanting to assault you earlier on. You know what I mean?
It's the ebb and flow of life, Kous. You know, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. And you've just caught me on a down day here where I think people want to assault me and hate my podcast. But there we go. At least I think we're going to draw to Croatia. So all my positivity is being put into Wales rather than myself at the moment.
Yeah.
But we'll start with the Turf Creatives question. Should Cymru Prem matches go to Friday evening fixtures to maximise support from local clubs who play on a Saturday afternoon? Something we've discussed a lot, whether you know it's Friday or summer fixtures. I'm a big fan of the Friday fixture. House, I know you get to Friday games because obviously, you know, we both follow clubs who play Saturdays as well. So it's a bit of a win-win. I guess the issue really comes down to travel. You know, if Pennebon, for example, are playing Carnarvon, they can't play that on a Friday night because all, you know, the travelling team has to take a half day off work to go and get to a game. But Lou, what are your thoughts on Friday evening fixtures? And is that using that as a way to maximise attendances?
Yeah, obviously the figures show that Friday night games get a lot more through the gates than what Saturday afternoon, especially in like when we go and watch Pennebont on a Saturday, right? If Cardiff or Swansea are playing at home, then the attendance is much lower at Bont. But then again, like what you said, you've got to think these footballers are playing semi-professional football. They've got a lot of them, for instance, even working like schools as teaching assistants, or you know, I know a few of them are like electricians or builders, whatever. And you got to think they can't just take on a Friday, and you can't expect the places they work to be able to just, like, just have them drop out midday on a Friday because they're traveling up to Colwyn Bay or Connors Quay to play away. But then again, it would be, there is something nice, such a cliche, but football under the lights and winter, you're freezing and it's pissing it down with rain. But then when I look back at like my memories of watching Cymru Premier football and even, you know, Welsh Premier from when I used to go and watch Bangor as a kid or whatever, like a lot of those memories are Friday nights where you're freezing and pissed wet through.
Yeah. No, there is a lovely sort of glamorous beauty, but also romance, but it's also ugly to sort of night games, especially Friday night games. I just like the fact it just sort of frees up your whole weekend then, because I don't really do much on Friday nights other than sort of stay in and watch Gogglebox. And I'd much rather go and watch a football match on a Friday evening. House, do you agree with us both on the old Friday evening debate?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love a good Friday fixture. I mean, just looking at Denby Town for an example. You know, Denby Town average probably over 300 on a Friday night, whereas you know, on a Saturday afternoon it can drop to down to about 200 on a Saturday. So it's a big old jump. And, you know, I think that's pretty much across the board, isn't it? So people like the Friday nights. You know, it doesn't really clash with, as you say, they're you know, perhaps they've got an English team or whatever. So I think it's, it's common sense. But then saying that, you know, I think it's good to have, for example, two Cymru Premier games on a Friday night and then the rest on a Saturday. You know, we don't have to have them all on a Friday night, do we?
No, you are right there, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think it's great. I think the crowds are great. And Lewis, really true what he says there. You know, you can't beat a good old Friday night in the light.
I totally agree. Right, Le Podfather, Alan March, with his trivia question this week. If either of you have paid attention to your mentions on Twitter, Jonathan Richardson immediately ruined the answer by just replying with the right one. So cheers, Jonathan, for that. That made me laugh. The Podfather says, I'm currently on holidays in Italy. Wales have played Italy 10 times, lost 8 of them and won twice. But what years were the two wins? So I don't know if you've seen them. But I think one is quite obvious, one famous one. But what was the other one? Lewis, were you even alive for the famous one? I don't know.
I was born the same year, but I was born in February. So I imagine it would have been after February. It's obviously 2002.
Yeah.
Imagine it would have been what?
October.
I haven't got a clue for the second one. Like, not in my lifetime. I think obviously the 2002 game won't be talked about as much if we'd beaten them again in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So does Kaus know? Are we Cows, stabbing.
What do you reckon?
Say that again, lads. Sorry, I just had a missed call. What do you say?
What was when did Wales beat Italy other than the 2002 game?
Ooh. Have we beaten Italy other than that?
Yeah, twice we've beaten them.
Really?
10. Yeah.
Wow. Oh Christ, I didn't know that. So it's got to have been. Christ, you've got to be talking like 1950s, I'd imagine.
No, it's a bit not that far back. 1988.
Oh, right.
In a friendly in Brescia, is that how it was pronounced? Wales won 1-0 thanks to Ian Rush. Carlo Ancelotti played, and so did Paolo Maldini. Wow. He went for a long time. And yeah, Roberto Mancini, Gianluca Vialli. Good managers in that team. Baresi, Walter Zenger. He had a stint at Wolves, didn't he? That didn't really work out. But there we are. 1988 and 2002 are two victories against Italy. 8 defeats other than that. Right, Boosh. Here he is. Okay. The young ones. Darling, we are the young ones. And young ones shouldn't be afraid. A Cliff Richards song used for the 80s brilliant comedy, The Young Ones. Which televisual programs from your prepubescent / teen years do you think stands up to the test of time? Right. Two very different answers from two very different generations here, I'm sure. Bacaus, is there a program from your teenage years that you still think, translates well today? You know, that doesn't have any... It's tough going because obviously you're so old that most of them are just racist now. Or the lead actor's like a paedophile or something. That's sort of how these things work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that you're absolutely right because I'm going to say Wacky Races and Dick Dastardly has been in the news recently, hasn't he, about untoward behaviour towards some of the staff backstage. I think I'd probably say Wacky Races.
The 20 mile per hour thing as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely despises that. Yeah, Dick Dastardly would definitely call Mark Drakeford Dripford.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
100%. I always thought with the Wacky Races, why did, like, he was the best driver on the circuit. Why didn't he just drive his car? He would have won the race, but he'd always stop and lay traps and stuff. What was the point in that? Stupid.
Oh, there we are. Critical analysis of Wacky Races from Tommy Couch there. Lewis, anything from your childhood that you'd still watch today maybe and enjoy?
By the time I was like a teenager, it was obviously like more YouTube than it was Teddy, really. Gen Z. So I don't really, I can't remember the last time I'd watched like telly.
Mm.
But in terms of when I was younger, I got an older sister. So we used to watch, your Disney channels, your Nickelodeons and all that. I remember watching Drake and Josh quite a bit when I was...
That was a great show.
Sweet Life for Zach and Cody. Mm. I wish I... Well, you probably can on Disney Plus. I haven't got Disney Plus, but rewatch all these stuff. I wonder if they do relate to adulthood or not.
Yeah, it's one of those things I can't remember. I remember... obviously, it's a bit more than sort of prepubescent, as Boosh called it. But I used to really like Skins when I was sort of like 14 or 15. And I remember watching it back when I was like 22 or 23, and it was absolutely terrible. But I used to think it was really, really cool and edgy. That did translate as well. Drake and Josh was good, although Drake is now, I think, a convicted... Be like kidnapping or something, so there's
maybe it's not
the
time when they were filmed, maybe it's just actors. that's a hell of a claim, sorry.
Simpsons was, I mean, it's not really for kids, is it? It's more for adults, but that stands the test of time. I think you can watch The Simpsons from like 91 or whenever it started, and it still stands up today. So yeah, big up the Simpsons. And finally, Liam Geraghty asked, in light of our trip down south on Sunday, what is your favourite type of music currently? Lewis, we'll tie this in. You're going to pick our closing track. So I don't know if you want to tie it into this answer, but well, who are you listening to at the moment? And what is your closing track going to be?
I'm going to start sounding like a broken record because I mention these guys every time I come on, but the Royston Club have released an album a few months ago, and that's all I'm sort of listening to at the minute, to be honest. They're really, really good. Listen to a bit of the Snuts at the minute. I quite like them. But do you want me to pick my track now or pick
yeah.
it?
Well, no, I'll tell you what, we'll hang on for that. For now, bit of suspense. Kaus, what are you listening to at the moment? What are you enjoying?
The Royston Club, Wrexham band as well. Yeah, they're very, very good. Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what? I haven't really heard a lot of new music at the moment. I've got to say, give a shout out to Megan Wynn, who's I think she's just announced she's got a new single coming out. She's very good. I like her music, yeah, she's a gog as well. So from your neck of the woods, I think there is.
Yeah, so, I'll see what I think.
Yeah, yeah. Thank Evney, I think she is. But yeah, yeah, she's very good. So yeah, I've been listening to that. But yeah, Liam. Liam's talking about our car journey there. Liam Geraghty, he was in my car on Saturday on the way down to Crawley. So,
oh, is that with... that's what he meant by down south? Then that makes more sense.
Yeah, we were making up Wrexham songs to the tune of 1980s
nice.
Electronic hits. So, yeah, fantastic.
Good stuff. My current tips. Really like the band Bully. Highly recommend you check them out. I also like Melon. I'm going to see them.
I like Melon
in a couple of weeks.
In the Globe, or are you watching them
in the Big Smoke? I'll be seeing them in London. Unfortunately,
so now your stalker's got two places they can.
Yeah, they can find me. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Boosh, if you turn up in either of them, I'll be very worried.
Fantastic.
We have had one last late question to the party. Roy Lovell has said best place in Wrexham for a pint, which I think is a good question considering there'll be a lot of southerners like me heading up to Wrexham for maybe the first time. Kaus, where do you recommend for a pre-match drink, a post-match drink and a late night drink?
Well, pre and post-match, the Mice Gwyn, the Turf, Hill Street in the middle of town, the Horse and Jockey. There's plenty. To be honest, you can't really go wrong, and you won't pay much. You probably won't find many places where you'll pay more than £4 a pint, I don't think, in Wrexham. And yeah, certainly later on, get yourself to the Penny Black. I'm saying that with a bit of a giggle. That's an absolute hellhole of a place. So yeah, get yourself to the Penny Black. And
I was doing a bit of research earlier of what's open late. I think Penny Black was 4 a.m. Which is good for some. Parish is open till 1, I noticed. Is that any good, Kaus,
Parish is fantastic. Yeah. Parish is really, really good. And the guy who runs Parish also runs a place called Craft and Tales just over the road.
Right.
And that stays open till about 4. So yeah, that's usually my journey on a Saturday. I go to the Parish, really good indie bar, and I'm sure he'll probably have a couple of bands on as well, with it being a Wales game. So yeah, that's definitely where I'll be heading, I think, and then Craft and Tales after to finish the night off. I won't be going to Penny Black. I've had my fingers burnt there far too many times. So yeah. But there's actually a couple of really good karaoke bars as New York, and I think the other one is literally just called the Karaoke Bar.
Yeah, it is. I did have a look. That's open late as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're good. They're good. Always a good laugh in there as well. So you can't go far wrong though. It's Wrexham's a really good night.
I'm just looking now because I when you said Mice Gwyn, I did have I'm sure Spirit of 58 were doing something there, and they are. I'm just looking now. They've got Mice Gwyn are advertising pre and post match. They're open. A big room open to all. Spirit of 58 pop up shop, which would be interesting. DJ Kev from the Parish Live, Posh Kebabs, Kaus. and outdoor seating and outdoor bars. So
yeah,
that
to be honest,
like a pretty good choice.
I'm a big fan of the turf. You know, and I'm good friends with Wayne as well. But I've got to say, I've started going over to the Maes Gwyn a little bit more now for Wrexham games. It's really, really good, and there's just a bit more room. The turf can get really, really busy.
Yeah, I bet.
So I think the Maes Gwyn is a really good shout, and there's plenty of room, reasonable price beers, posh kebabs, mate. Give it a
oh,
challenge.
Look at that, posh kebabs.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Right, that should do it for tonight. Thank you, as always, for listening. Kaus, any closing statements?
Just really looking forward to the international break now, the two games, and clocking up the old miles on the tank as well, and fingers crossed we can come out of it with two wins. I'd be over the moon if we can get two wins. All of a sudden things look a little bit more rosy, don't they?
Absolutely. Lewis, any closing statement from you, and will you reveal what song will play us out tonight?
By the Magazine. Keep listening to the pod.
Good boy, good boy.
Keep interacting on Twitter.
Yeah, come on.
And don't go to the, what's it called, Kaus? The Penny something?
Penny Black. Yeah,
don't go
go there.
To the Penny Black.
It's a bit like, for your neck of the woods, mate, have you ever been to the Morgan Lloyd in Carnarvon?
No.
It's a bit like there. It's a similar reputation.
I got a picture in my head. I can imagine it.
I feel like I've got to go and have a look now, like out of sort of morbid curiosity.
Oh, right, as a gentleman who doesn't drink,
yeah,
it will be an eye opener. Let's just say that it'll be.
I've had many a night out in Bridgend. It can't be that much worse.
Well, we'll see.
Lewis, what's going to play us out then?
I'm a Liar by the Royston Club.
I thought that was just going to be a statement from you then.
Oh, good one.
Right. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. As always, if you haven't already, buy a ticket for St. Fagans, buy a magazine, as Lewis said, and keep on trucking, as Rodri isn't here tonight. Rod,
yes.
Just want to let you know we're thinking of you, and I hope your hematology conference or wherever you're at this week was worth missing the pod for. I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm assuming I'll see you on Sunday, Lewis. You won't be at Wrexham.
No, I'm not. I'm not going up to Wrexham. No, but I'll catch you all on Sunday.
And Kaus, twice in a week, I'll get to see you. What a treat!
Absolutely, mate. I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, let's. I'm going to lace your Fantas with vodka. I think, right? See, see what happens.
Excellent. That's illegal. And I will get you arrested. But there we are. Good stuff. Right. Thanks again, everyone. This has been Altered Wales, the podcast. We'll be back next week for more to reflect on the international break. And also a big shout out to UEFA for sort of picking the fixtures that work with the podcast. We don't have to change our routine. So that's a bonus. So to play us out is I'm a Liar by the Royston Club. Diolch yn fawr. Goodbye. It cuts me up. Nothing I do is